Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Please give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, you can always email me your questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, questions, comments, concerns, because I love to hear from you. smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Also, a social network. If you have Facebook, I have a Smooth Drama group. Myself or Mr. J can hook you up with a membership. You down to join? Just ask. Myself and Mr. J will hook you up with the membership to the Smooth Drama group. Or you can just Google me. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back and we can talk a taste on it. Anytime, anywhere. Oh, today, it is not just a Smooth Drama show. I have my spiritual co-host, my main man, Lavelle Davis, is with me. He left us and went on to another level, another plane of existence Monday, but he is always going to be here with us. So today, I'm happy and joyous to say that this is co-hosted by my main man, Lavelle Davis. You will be missed, but he will always be here because he has done some wonderful and amazing art. And we want to always throw the shout out to him if he's listening, if he's watching. If he's watching, it'd be kind of creepy, right? Because it's like I'm sitting here and, you know, speculation for the fans listening, whatnot. I could be sitting here naked, and if he was watching, that'd be like, ooh. He would probably be like, nah, man, I'm not watching you. But you got on clothes. So why are you telling people you don't have on clothes? I don't know why I said it. It was weird, but it was just part of how I talk. I don't know. Anyway, if you don't know, Lavelle Davis is a renowned comic book artist who has drawn many things. One, his series, his book, Lander, which will be coming out this summer. Fantastic book. His art, if you know about me and my comic book publishing, National Press Comics, he did our poster, our character poster. I mean, it is beyond fantastic. I mean, his art is next level, and he will surely be missed. But we not gonna be stuck talking about Lavelle all night, even though if he was here, he'd be like, why not? Why you can't talk about me all night? I love it. We're not going to do it. We are going to talk about something that was near and dear to his heart. Penis. He had one. I'm sure he'd probably grab onto his ghost penis right now. Like, yes, I still have a penis. Actually, it was Kanemaru Matsuri, a.k.a. the Festival of the Steel Phallus. I guess it's been a string tradition since 1969. In Japan, the first Sunday in April, they have this annual penis festival. And they raise money for HIV charities. whatnot. And basically, they have edible penises that you can eat, lick on, suck on, whatever. And they have wooden penises. It's just people take selfies with penises and carry penises all around with them. It's the day of penis. But it begs the question, though. You know, because being that basically Japan, we've been running Japan since the end of World War II after we dropped them two bombs on them. Why don't we have a penis and vagina festival? I don't understand it, actually. Because, you know, we still everything else. Why not something fun? You know, I mean, because we still a lot of, I mean, traditions. I mean, we still shows. Why don't we have a penis and vagina festival? It's a great idea. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'd be taking pictures with penis lollipops in my mouth, but a vagina cupcake, I can do that. Hey, it's cupcakes, cookies. Yeah, I'm just licking the frosting off. I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. So, I mean, because we can have the Steel Vagina and Iron Dick Festival. No, nobody. Boomerang. Steel Vagina. Marvelous. I'm the only one that remember that. Anyway, I'm going to move on. I'm saying Steel Vagina, Iron Dick. Anyway, I have to go into, well, I don't have to, but I am. I'm going to go into my dumbass of the week here. Always got to get that last one in. My dumbass of the week is anybody who does the condom snorting contest. Apparently, there was an activity that was the subject of condemnation. It was like 5 years ago, and supposedly is making a comeback. It's where people snort condoms up their nose. It's the condom snorting challenge, right? And you video yourself snorting an unrolled condom up your nostril, and then you're gonna pull it out through your mouth. Yeah. That's anybody who is doing that, is considering doing that, you are the dumbass of the week. Pick a week. Whatever week you decide to do that, you are the dumbass. You're snorting a condom. Why would you snort a condom up your nose? And to get stuck, You're in the hospital. You gotta go to the doctor, and they're pulling a condom out you. You just stupid. I would myself, if I was a doctor or a nurse, I would drug you, right? So you'd be knocked out. I'd roofie you, knock you out, and then smack you a whole lot of times. Just and stick you with something in your butt so it'd be painful. So that your butt cheeks would hurt when you wake up. Like, I don't know what happened. There's just something dumb about that. Now, when I say stick something, I ain't talking about nothing Bill Cosby-ish, right? I'm just talking about, like, with a needle, you stick something, some whatever drug it would take to make their ass hurt just because you're stupid. It would be like me whooping them. In other words, that's what I'm talking about whooping people. If you're a condom snorter, it's hypothetical. If you were a condom sniffer, you're a part of that condom snorting challenge, I rebuke you. I despise everything about you. I think that you are foolish. And if I was a nurse or a doctor, I would knock you out when I was pulling it out. If you came into my hospital, my office with that, I would knock you out. And I would put something that would make your butt cheeks hurt, like I gave you a whooping. That's what I would do. And I would encourage anybody else, if you know anybody that has done that, whoop them, roofie them, pull their pants down, and whoop them. So when they wake up, my ass hurts. I don't know. I think you fell. I think you passed out because you lost air or whatever. I mean, I'm just, it's as a suggestion. Don't judge me, but I think I'm right. But I could be wrong. Anyway, my other dumbass of the week, dumbasses actually, because there are at least 50 people, 50 artificial intelligence scientists from around the world. They're calling for a boycott of a South Korean university because they're going into research to create autonomous weapons or killer robots. The Korean Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, KAIST, as the KIST, was looking to accelerate the arms race to develop such weapons. And so the scientists, the at least 50 artificial intelligence scientists around the world are boycotting them. I'm like, now you see, this is that epitome of dumb. People give Einstein credit, you know, he's smart, but he created the nuclear bomb, right? The atom bomb. And they said, yo, he did it because it was energy. Okay. But he knew that they was going to make a bomb. I don't think you're intelligent when you create something that's going to kill people 100 times over. There's just no intelligence there. But, hey, I'm just a dummy who talks on the air. These dudes creating killer robots. I mean, there is some sci-fi that talks about that, right? Now, I know this is the whole life imitating art, but killer robots. Killer robots. Who is sitting around thinking that killer robots, artificially intelligent, meaning they have their own brains, that's a good idea. Like, you know what? You know what we don't have in this world? Clean water? No. Mm-mm. No, clean air, you know, making sure the ozone layer is straight. No. Forget that, son. Oh, a way to grow healthy food so everybody can be fed? No. We don't have killer robots. That's what we need. That's what we're missing in life. Robots that want to kill humans, that can kill a lot of humans. That's a good idea. Because we don't have enough humans who want to kill humans already. No, we ain't got enough of those. We need some of them killer robots, son. What's up, Dutton? Anyway. You see what I'm saying? You know, well, you want to cure cold, cure AIDS. You want to do something, wipe out flesh-eating disease. I mean, universal immunity, you know, cure cancer, autism, something, no. Robots. Killer robots is where it's at. I think killer robots is a great idea. Now, you see, for me, I don't advocate violence or murder. I'm just saying, though, if there are people who want to create something that's going to kill us, should we allow them to continue to do it? Is it a moral question? I mean, is it a moral question? I mean, my question makes sense. I mean, I want to create, and these people over at KAIST, the Korean Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, They want to create autonomous weapons or killer robots, as they call them, because the robots will have the artificial intelligence like, you know what? They will be programmed to kill humans. How long before that goes bad? I mean, like I said, I point out the fact that if you create artificial intelligence, and as somebody who's done a little computer programming, and, you know, I teach a little bit. I tell my kids all the time, computers are dumb. They only do what you tell them to do. So if you tell them to kill humans, they're going to kill humans. It's one of those weird things. You tell them to kill humans, so they will kill humans. Hey, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. It's one of them dumb people who just, you know what? I'm just going to walk away from it. I need to go on break. This is a Czarface and MF Doom. Metal with metal. Let them talk about it.
Together you got smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Czarface and MF Doom, Metal with Metal. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Woo! Man. So, I got a lot of hate in me, right? I hate stuff that just don't make sense. And I know people say, you know, Smooth, hate is a strong word. And so when I reply back to it, like, yes, my hate is real. I just hate stuff. I hate stuff that don't make sense. And I hate people who hate on people when it's none of their business. For example, my hater of the week.
Hate. I hate you.
My hater of the week is actually, it's not one individual. Well, it is an individual, but it's an unnamed individual. So let me tell you the scenario. Let me break it down to you till it's broken. There's a woman, Ohio woman, LaDonna Hewitt, 54 years old. She was arrested on Saturday after police said she lewdly propositioned and grabbed an Easter bunny working at a carousel park in Mansfield, Ohio. So what happened was, when Hewitt posed for a photo with the rabbit, witnesses said she inappropriately grabbed the costume character and made suggestive comments within earshot of family at the indoor park. Someone called the police. And that's all cool. And you say they received a report from a citizen, an unusual report from a citizen that called, said there was an intoxicated female doing some lewd acts on the Easter Bunny. Why is this the hater of the week? Because the bunny didn't call the police. If the bunny, the Easter Bunny, you know, that hypothetical creature that has something to do with Jesus rising, but it lays chocolate eggs, because we all know that Easter bunnies, well, bunnies in particular, they lay eggs, but the Easter Bunny lays chocolate eggs, and it has nothing to do with a pagan holiday called Ishtar back in the day. But I'm digressing here. But the guy in Easter Bunny costume, he was not upset. He wasn't like pushing her off. He was like, go on, grab what you're going to grab. But no. No one asked the Easter Bunny, hey, do you want her to stop? No, they called and they broke it up. So what happens is this. She gets arrested. 8 hours. They took 8 hours away from her and the Easter Bunny, you know, trying to make some chocolate covered eggs. Maybe. I don't know. I'm like, why she get arrested? Were people upset because she was defiling the Easter Bunny? I mean, because that's what it sounds like. She's defiling the Easter Bunny. If the guy in the Easter Bunny outfit wasn't upset, he wasn't pushing her off. Because, you know, a lot of these people who are in these suits, they kind of... Would I be stereotyping and saying that they don't have a lot going on? I mean, it's kind of stereotyping, but if you're like Santa Claus or Easter Bunny or you're these mascots, you ain't got a lot going on in your life. And so people don't recognize you without the suit on. So you put that suit on and you get all the attention in the world, right? I mean... I'm not trying to diss. I am making social commentary. Like, I put on this suit and people love me. So he getting that extra attention because if he didn't have on the Easter Bunny suit, would she have come up to him? Would she have sat on his lap and talked to him and rubbed him suggestively? I'm going to guess not. But see, that suit allows him to get that special attention that he don't normally get. So who are we to hate on Hewitt? I got to move on. I'm just saying, though. I mean, and maybe there are some people who are mascots or whatever. They were a mascot in college, or they're a mascot now. They work at one of these arenas, and they're in that suit. Maybe you call me up 607-826-7435 and tell me, hey, you know what? I'm a mascot, and I get love outside of the suit also. Me, hey, if you do, let me know. Anyway, I can't do it. All right, I'm getting serious here for a second. I got mad love for mascot. I really do. And if you're not in the mascot suit and you see me on the street, you give me that. I give you that. I will give you a hug, so long as you wear deodorant. That's my criteria. Anyway, now, if you don't know, you haven't listened to me before. I am a conspiracy theorist. I'm a hardcore conspiracy theorist, and a softcore. If I don't know, hardcore and softcore, is there like a real major difference between the two? But I'm like both of them. And if there is another kind of conspiracy theorist, I'm that one also. See that there's the body of a CDC worker found. If you don't know, CDC stands for the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Timothy Cunningham, black man, was reported missing more than 6 weeks ago. He was found dead in the Atlanta River. Body was recovered by rescue workers in the Chattahoochee River in northwest Atlanta late Tuesday evening. No other details were available. And, you know, Cunningham, 35, was an epidemiologist at the Atlanta-based agency. Disappeared on February the 12th. His family reported him missing on February 16th after going to his home and finding his belongings and the vehicle there. Police said that they had no evidence of foul play but couldn't rule it out. CDC officials said previously that reports that Cunningham had been passed over for a promotion were incorrect. And they said that he had received an exceptional proficiency promotion July 1st to the position of commander, an early promotion reflecting his excellence as an employee. So, I asked this question. Police said that they had no evidence of foul play. It's just a black dude, successful black man, just got his promotion, you know, decided, hey, I'm going to go to the river and go for a swim. I mean, and he drowned. I mean, There's no foul play. It has to be foul play. Am I the only one that would think that they're like foul play? They found his body in the river. No suicide note. Family looking for him. Apparently, he was loved. So, I have a theory. Want to hear it? Here you go. My theory is, brother found out that the CDC, somebody involved with the CDC, some federal agency or individuals, whatnot, were doing something that was not good for people. He, like other people who have a conscience and are human by nature, meaning they care about other humans, probably, thought, I'm going to tell somebody. I'm going to try to stop this. And he got dealt with for his trouble. So my thing would be this. And this is the whole conspiracy theory. If you're riding with me, you're riding with me. If you're not, you're not. Maybe I make sense. Maybe I don't. Something bad's going to happen. Or something bad is happening right now. He discovered it, got dealt with it for it. Because just the dude been missing for 6 weeks and you find him in the river dead, not no report to him being unhappy. No, he wasn't bipolar. None of that stuff comes up. No depression. Wasn't no crack sprinkled on him. He didn't OD on opioids or none of that. He just in the river and he works for the CDC. I mean, you can't put two and two together. Or maybe you just believe that successful individuals just decide to walk off their job and leave their possessions and, jump in the river and drown themselves for no reason. That's it. So, I could be wrong. And it could be, hey, it's no foul play involved. Federal agency, police say there's no foul play involved. Because you can believe everything the police say. All right. I'm in this mood. I want to say, shout out to the state officials in Florida. No, I don't want to say shout out to the state officials in Florida. I just want to say fuck Florida. I've built a lot of my stuff on the show. Dumbass. It used to be just like there was something stupid that happened in Florida. And so that's where dumbass of the week, hater of the week, used to be a lot of people in Florida. So it's not rough to, it's not a stretch, if you listened to me before, to know how I feel about Florida. So when I say fuck Florida, it's like something else. And I ain't talking about the shootings, the fact that you have grown adults attacking kids who were shot at. Like, you know what? Y'all know what y'all talking about. Something wrong with you kids. Y'all crazy. It's like, these people who are not being shot at talking crazy to kids who got shot at. But I digress. That is not why I say fuck Florida. I say fuck Florida. There's an admitted gap between teacher salaries and Miami's housing prices, right? So the county, Miami County, instead of giving teachers raises, they said, no, we got a new plan. We're going to build apartments on school property and let faculty live there. All right. So the proposal includes constructing mid-rise middle school in the Brick Hill area, Southside Elementary, with a floor devoted to residential units and several more reserved for parking in the classrooms on top. And if that goes well, Miami-Dade wants a full-fledged housing complex next to Phyllis Wheatley Elementary, with as many as 300 apartments going up on the campus. And Miami-Dade's housing director is like, it's an exciting idea. Land is at a premium in Miami-Dade County. It's difficult to come by, especially in the urban core. And it's preliminary. They say it's a joint effort by the Miami-Dade school system and the housing department, and that it has a little momentum. All right. So, as a teacher, somewhere, someplace, I would say, living in the place that I teach at, it's not a good idea. I may want to have a personal life. I may want to have company, you know, a romantic dinner or two, an outing, whatnot. But no, I live on the school grounds. Now, when I saw this, I immediately thought about what's going on over in China, Foxconn. If you've ever seen that documentary where the people, they actually live on the same property as the factory that they work in. They like work like 16, 18 hours. And then they have little time to do their laundry and whatever and sleep. It's like they get like that 6 hours, whatever. Cause you're right there. You're on the property where the school is. So there's no go home, relax, recalibrate, get a break away from the kids. You're just there. It's like, oh no, I mean I guess you don't have to travel far. You don't have to your car to go to work because you at work. It's like I don't have to leave out the house. School start at 8:30. I don't have to leave out the house to like 8:25. Just walk on over to the classroom. Classroom right next door to my apartment. I mean, it's like I can go home, eat lunch in my apartment. Kids peering in through the window. I mean, who thinks that's a good idea? Because I'm going to guess none of the Miami-Dade school officials are going to live there next to any of the schools but the teachers. See, because those school officials, they make a tad bit more money. They make a little bit more money. They make enough money where they can live in the quote-unquote high housing market. But the teachers, instead of giving them a raise, nah, we're going to put y'all on the plantation. Y'all going to live on the plantation with the kids. I ain't trying to say that it's like slavery. I'm just going to say it's almost like indentured servitude, right? Because you kind of like you live there where you work. Where on earth is that a good idea? Aside from the people who don't have to live there and never have to, you know, your job is right there. Maybe I want to take a mental health day. You know, I need a sub. I had a hard day. I call out. I can't even call out. You ain't sick. We've been looking in your window this whole time. We saw you dancing around. I'm sorry. Good times. Who thought this was a good time? Who thought this was a good idea? Miami-Dade school system and the housing department. We're going to hook these teachers up. Y'all can live on campus. I will go out on a limb and say that they didn't consult any teachers. And if they did, they would probably have got a lot of FUs. think that a good idea. Just a guesstimation. I could be wrong, but I somehow doubt it. On that note, I probably need to go on break again because it's time to go on break again. So, in the spirit of what's been going on with these officers of the goddamn law, killing yet more black people, and more than likely gonna just get that paid vacation, administrative leave they call it, with pay, which is paid vacation, to shoot and kill up black people. It's a ghetto boy, crooked officer.
Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer. That was Ghetto Boys, Crooked Officer. I want to put you in the coffin, sir. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Woo! All right. So we come to that part of the show where I normally get really, 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 really serious. No. Yeah. No, maybe. Yeah. No. Actually, I wanted to take the time to talk about punk-ass adults. What do I mean when I say punk-ass adults? There are a lot of punk-ass adults out there. People who complain about stuff after the fact. You know, if you got a problem with something, just state it at that point in time. Don't come out and try to make some money off of what some people have as misery. For example, Kitty Jones did her BBC 3 documentary, R. Kelly Sex Girls Videotapes. I hate this stuff, right? I mean, I really hate this. You know, we all know R. Kelly and the young girls, right? And I think I've come out pretty strong on it. Like, you know, with these girls, I'm like, where are their daddies at? That's what I say when I say punk ass adults. Because I remember when they had the one girl, who was grown, by the way, talking about, you know, and had the daddy and the mama up there talking about, R. Kelly is doing this to our baby. Your baby like 23, 24. If she want R. Kelly to pee in her face, hey, she is of legal consent. Anyway. And my point is, when I say punk ass adults, daddy shouldn't be talking. Daddy should have showed up like, hey, my daughter coming out. I don't care if she don't like it. She gonna come out, or I'm gonna come in. Somebody gonna get their ass whooped. Either I'm gonna whoop your ass, or you gonna whoop my ass. But we gonna fight. I mean, that's what a non-punk ass adult would do, in my humble opinion. I could be wrong. Well, I don't think I am. Anyway, Kitty Jones, you know, she's like, yeah, R. Kelly, he abused a girl since she was 14 years old, right? So she said, during 2 years of dating R. Kelly, from 2011 onwards, Jones says she was groomed by him and forced to have sex with him and others at least 10 times in a sex dungeon. I quote, she said, I was introduced to one of the girls that he told me he trained since she was 14. Those were his words. I saw that she was dressed like me, that she was saying things I'd say, and her mannerisms were like mine. That's when it clicked in my head that he had been grooming me to become one of his pets. He called them his pets. Like, okay, you 2 years, you were dating him, grooming him, and I guess when he got tired of you and moved you on, but she's 34 now, so she was in her 30s. Once she started, she got like a wrinkle, or maybe like too many pimples on her booty, whatever. I don't know what would make you not be a pet for R. Kelly anymore. Kick you out. And you're complaining, and I mean, we know that she's doing it for the money. Because if you wasn't down for it, when he said, hey, this is a 14-year-old girl, well, no, he said he had trained her since she was 14, so we don't know how old she was. But the point being that if it appalled you then, you were just, nah, I ain't down for this, but you was down for the grooming. And that's why I like, if you was down for the grooming, just say you was down for it. Because if he said he was grooming you, he called you a pet. He called you a pet. Not his woman. You're his pet. You're one of many pets. You take that for 2 years? I mean, And that's why I say punk ass adult. Because she's in her 30s. Late 20s. Because 2011. So we say it's 2018. So she's 34 now. So back then she was 20 something. 27? You can't say, nah, I'm not going to be part of your orgy. You can't say that. It's not in the, no, I'm the only one that think that 27, you should be able to say, nah, I don't want to be your pet. Or it's like, we can use self-esteem for that. Like, you know what, I didn't have no self-esteem, no positive self-esteem about myself. So he said I was his pet. And he patted me on my head. It was like, you know how them dogs, when you rub a dog on the stomach and you get that tickle motion, and that's why my legs went up, and that's why we can have, I mean, come on. Anyway. Punk ass adults. Now, I'm going to get into talking about other punk ass adults. Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Oh, what is it that happened again? That we should be saying hell no to. New York Police Department officer shot a man to death on Brooklyn Street yesterday afternoon after they saw him with a metal object that looked like a shower head in his hand. So, officers responded to a call about 4:30 p.m. An emotionally disturbed black man believed to be in his mid-30s waving a gun at the local street corner. Witnesses told cops that he had something in his jacket. And the officers fired 5 shots, striking him 5 times. Victim is known in the neighborhood for being emotionally disturbed. He's a little touched in the head, one of the residents said, but he's not crazy enough to go around hitting people. Well, he's dead. Showerhead. Another thing that we know that you cannot do as a black man, you cannot be mentally ill and have a showerhead in your hand. Because apparently a showerhead is another one of those dangerous weapons that make officers flinch and draw for their life. Yeah, Groundhog Day. Of course, they're protesting. I mean, it's like every week. I mean, you can be touched in the head and get shot. You cannot be touched in the head and get shot. Groundhog Day. Same thing happened over and over again. I mean, because when we talking about homie that was, I mean, he did something wrong. No doubt. He ran from the police. He was on the phone in his yard. Yes, I won't say that he was totally innocent, but he didn't do anything that deserved death. Not like he was attacking officers. Running from officers doesn't mean you should die. That they couldn't shoot him in the leg, make him fall. But, and this guy, he, you know, he's a crazy dude in the neighborhood. I guess somebody got tired of the crazy dude in the neighborhood. It's like, you know what? We're going to call the police on, because, I mean, we all know now, if you call the police on somebody black man in particular, you're saying that you want to kill them. I mean, that's kind of the logic now, right? Kind of the logic. If you call the police on a black man, you're saying you're trying to get them killed. I mean, technically, you could say it's attempted murder. It's like conspiracy to murder now. You call the cops on the black man. That's what that is. I talk about this, and then I want to I want to have a brief discussion about saviorism, since we're talking about Groundhog Day. The member of the Democratic National Committee, he resigned yesterday after referring to African Americans as colored people during a party meeting. John Parker, a Duval County in Florida, by the way, Democratic State Committee man, he apologized for what he described as a hurtful term and announced his immediate resignation. I understand my error perpetuates divisiveness and does not allow us an opportunity for the important types of meaningful discourse, a conversation our party must engage in sooner rather than later that help us grow as individuals and a party protecting the dignity of all people. Yeah. And State Representative Kimberly Daniels of Jacksonville alleged that he had used the racial language and had made other disgraceful comments in the past. Like he reportedly, he allegedly referred to the Working People Caucus as the Poor Black People Working Caucus and called a constituent the mayor's mammy. Now, I bring this up, and when I talk about saviorism, remember I talked about when everybody was like, "Yeah, black women save the Democratic Party in Alabama when they brought in the white dude Doug Jones," and Doug Jones just first time he got a chance betrayed their interests. Whatever they was asking for, he was like, "No, I ain't doing none of that. I'm going to vote against your interests." So this guy, he's a Democrat. I mean, because, you know, people would say Democrat, Republican, like there's a difference. And that's where I say saviorism. It's like, yeah, there's that white savior. It's not happening. It's not. No matter if you got the picture of white Jesus on your wall, it's not going to happen. It's not going to save you. These dudes don't get, he say the same thing that you say the Republicans say. So, what is difference? Is there a difference? I would retort no. There is no difference between them. Except for one is about the elephant and one's about the donkey. All together, they don't care about you and anything you say. And, you know, should we not be tired of it? Do we have racism fatigue? And so we get to the point where we don't even, it's like, you know, we can't even fight for ourselves no more. And I'm tired of talking about fighting for ourselves because it happens so much. You know, the Groundhog Day thing, right? So, I say, what do we do? Do we allow them to just continually do that and we count on them, or do we count on ourselves? On that note, I am Mr. F. The N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. And you know what it is. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.